Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We'll read verses 15 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 22. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 22. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you as the world seems to be more and more depressed, as the press indicates that our economy seems to be worsening. Lord, your work here is growing and strong. Lord, we do need a miracle for our church to continue to grow. I pray that you provide it, work in the hearts of your people. But Lord, we stand before you a needy people, a sinful people. Lord, we need you personally today in our church. Father, work in the hearts of your children. Lord, work in the heart of our preacher to give us what you and he have worked on this week, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, if you came to church to be fed, you will be. If you came to church to reject the food, you will reject the food. I was watching, some months ago, a mother try to feed a child, and the child did not want the food in their mouth. You moms, you've experienced it when that child clamps their mouth shut and mom's trying to wedge that spoon in, and the child is not going to let that food go into the mouth. As a preacher, every Sunday of my life, I experience that. I come with a desire to feed. There are some who will not open their mouth. You can't force them to eat. You can tell when that attitude is hard, cold, bitter. That entrenched look of, you're not going to feed me. I apologize. I don't always know what to do about that. But is it ever delightful when you watch people like little birds come to church waiting for the worm from mama so that they might receive the nutrition that they need to succeed? Thank you for the attitude of this place. It is a rare occasion that anyone comes in here with that cold, bitter look on their face that says, I am not here to eat. You're all very good at coming here to eat and go everywhere to eat, and for that I'm grateful. You read just a moment ago with Brother Bush from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21, where the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Many times in the Bible we are challenged to hold. Over and over again the Bible uses the word hold something. But only 5 times in the New Testament does God tell us to hold fast. Hold fast. And God here in a special way is challenging us to grab a hold of something and not just merely hold it, but hold fast. When I went to high school, I did not have the privilege of going to the Christian school, and in my high school days, I attended a place called the Winchester Community High School. In our gymnasium, I had a gym teacher. His name was Mr. Stanley. Our gym, of course, was like all gyms, from the floor to the ceiling. I do not know how high it was, maybe somewhere between 30 and 40 feet high. At gym class, we had a little exercise or a little something that we were required to do. It was a rope climbing exercise. There were 2 ropes that hung all the way from the beams in the ceiling all the way down to the ground. And in high school gym class, the boys were required to climb the rope all the way to the top if they could. There were two ropes. Sometimes we would use them for competitions, maybe as high as 40 feet in the air. Now, I'll be honest, when, as a seventh grader, our middle school, high school started at seventh grade. I know many middle schools start in sixth grade now, but back then, when you moved up into the high school level, you were a seventh grader, and the seventh graders were the beginners at the high school level. And I can remember, as a seventh grader, when I walked into gym, and Mr. Stanley said, "Do you see that rope?" And he pointed to the top, and he said, "You're going to climb that to the top." I don't remember a whole bunch of the seventh graders saying, "Oh, this is going to be great." I remember the challenge of it. Now, the object was not to climb the rope depending on our hands only. Now, I watched a few head up the rope, and boy, even more pressure when you watch somebody else get about halfway up, and you got all your friends razzing you, and you're a little bit afraid, and you begin to slip, and then, as all good, you know, phys ed coaches are doing, you got a coach down there, and he's spitting fire, expecting you to move on. It was a bit scary, and it didn't help when somebody before you were not doing so well at climbing the rope. But I remember as I watched, I was getting some training about how to do it. I learned that you don't use just your hands. I mean, just think about it. Try to climb a rope 40 feet in the sky, depending on your body weight, which I suppose your body weight is just as much a strain for your arms as my body weight would be for my arms. I'm just glad that my arms don't have to carry your body weight. And you probably feel the same way. When you go to climbing the rope, you would use both hands, but not only your hands. You would use your forearms, and you'd kind of wrap them around the rope or use them to rest along the rope, and then you use your body, and you use your legs, and you get down there along your legs, and you'll use your ankles. And if any of you can picture shimmying up a rope like that, you use your whole body. But boy, you could hear Mr. Stanley at the bottom, and you would have to hold on to that rope as you're climbing up it, but I can still hear Mr. Stanley at the bottom of the rope yelling, "Tighten your grip, now move up. Tighten your grip, now move up." So I would slide my hands up, and I would tighten my grip with my hands, loosen that I had wrapped around my legs, and then push up, and I was trying to get up that rope. But I can still hear Mr. Stanley saying, "Tighten your grip, move up. Tighten your grip. Move up." And if you thought you couldn't go any farther, Mr. Stanley would say, tighten your grip and hold still for a minute. Get your energy, hold still, but tighten your grip. And I think most all of us, we had one guy, his name was Pee-wee. I don't think Pee-wee ever made it all the way to the top because he was afraid if he fell, he would just be a wee and smashing down to nothing. But I remember us finally making it to the top and how exciting it was. Now, had I not received some instruction about climbing that rope, I'm not sure I would have passed that part of gym class. The Lord's instruction here in the New Testament, on five different occasions, he says to us, "Hold fast." And when I read these five times where God says to hold fast, I was reminded of the gym class, and I was reminded of trying to scoot up that rope, and I was reminded of Mr. Stanley yelling, "Tighten your grip, and move up, tighten your grip, and move up, and tighten your grip, and hold on, right there, regain your energy, but don't come down, don't look down, don't turn back." I can remember him doing that. I was reminded of that when I read these passages of Scripture. The Lord here, the origin of that, those words of "hold fast," it means there's something good now. Now hold it down. Hold on to it. Pin it, if you will. You see, when you would scoot up that rope, you would pin that rope with your hands and pin it with your knees and around your ankles and get your body and your forearms up against it. Pin it. Press it. Press against it, and don't let, for any reason, don't let it slip, and don't lose ground. You ladies, may I recommend to you, when you're in the mall and you're in a busy place, that you tighten your grip on your purse. People will come by and they'll try to steal that thing from you. You know, that's exactly how Satan is. Satan wants to steal some things away from us. And may I say to all of us today, tighten your grip. tighten your grip on some things. Evidently, there are some things that we as Christians can lose and that Satan specifically wants to snatch away from us. And in this passage of Scripture, or these five Scriptures that I'll show you, God is saying, hold tight. Tighten your grip. These things about which we are going to talk, they must be a little extra precious then. Because God often tells us to hold. But five times he says, hold fast. He's putting an urgency with it. He is saying that this is extra important. You know, when if you've ever played any baseball, any coach will tell the fella holding the bat to make sure he gets a good grip on that bat. We'll actually put a little chalk or rosin on our hands and get a hold of that bat, and you want to grip it nice and tight. Have you ever seen a bat come out of somebody's hands and fly into the stand? Somebody can get hurt. Why? Well, often people are hurt because somebody else didn't tighten their grip. They didn't tighten their grip. I had a missionary friend, and we were talking about soul winning, and we had talked about going out door knocking. He said, well, in our village, in the area where I am, he said they don't have doors on their huts, so there's no door. So what they do is they have a dog, and the dog is on a rope, and they put the dog at the front door. He said, so we don't tell our people we're going to go out door knocking. He said, we tell our people we're going to go out, hold dogging. I said, what do you mean by hold dogging? He said, when you'd approach somebody's little hut, you don't knock on their door, you tell them to hold that dog back, and that dog is what protects the front door of their little cottage. He said, so I don't tell my people we're going door knocking, I tell my people we're going hold dogging. So you approach somebody's hut, and there's no door, but they've got a dog, and the dog is on a rope, and you want to grab a hold of that rope and hold tight so that dog can't get you. Hold dogging. What are they doing? Holding something back. Now, let me say to all of you, tighten your grip. Tighten your grip, church leadership. Tighten your grip, fundamentalist. Tighten your grip, parents of teenagers. Never has it been easy to rear teenagers. Never has it been. You're going to have to tighten your grip. You'll have to tighten your grip. Tighten your grip. And you know, when we talk about tightening our grip here, remember, it's not just to hold. It is to hold fast. Hold fast. Mean spiritually using both hands to tighten your grip. Spiritually using your forearms to tighten your grip. Spiritually using your body and your legs and your feet and your ankles and using some spiritual muscle. Look, folks, if the Christian life were easy, everybody would be doing it. No, there's struggle. There's bound to be. And God comes along and five times he says, tighten your grip. Hold fast. Christian, hold fast, tighten your grip. I want to show you this morning five times where God specifically, and the only five times in the entire New Testament, that God says, tighten your grip. Tighten your grip on that right there. The devil's going to try to knock that out of your hand. The devil's going to try to yank that out of your hand. Hey, your own fleshly nature is going to try to yank that out of your hand. Somebody's going to run by and try to grab that out of your hands and run away with your purse of spirituality, if you will. And God comes along and he says, tighten your grip. Hold fast. Tighten that. Tighten your hands around that. Don't let go of that. Hold tight. The only Christians that make it long term are the ones that will do exactly what I'm telling you today. Better tighten your grip on some things. Other people have been where you're at. Some didn't tighten their grip. They let loose. They've got rope burns, and they did not succeed. Others face what you face, and others face what we all face. They tighten their grip. They survive. They're still good Christians and happily serving God and looking for the day that the Lord returns and planning on being faithful to the end. But you're going to have to tighten your grip. For instance, number one, tighten your grip on your Christian growth. Tighten your grip on your Christian growth. Take your Bible, if you will, quickly. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 2. We're going to look very quickly at a verse here in Revelation chapter 2. I say to you, tighten your grip on your Christian growth. And that this is the first of the five times that we see God giving us this challenge. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 25, the Bible says this, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Now, drop down to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 3. It says here in Revelation 3:3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast." There it is again, hold fast. Now, go to Revelation 3:11. Revelation 3:11, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast." Now look back at me if you will. Remember, God is challenging us to tighten our grip. He is challenging us to pin something down so it does not slip away from us. Hold fast. Hold it down. Hold on to it. Tighten your grip. Now, what in the world could he be talking about in these three passages of Scripture? Well, in Revelation 2:25, he tells us to hold fast that which we have already. What's it talking about? That you've already learned. That you've already gained in the Christian life. Hold fast. Tighten your grip on that which you've already gained. He says in verse 3, he says of chapter 3, that thou hast received and heard. Well, what have you received and heard? Well, you've received and heard the teaching of the Word of God, and you're growing in the Lord because of it. In Revelation 3:11, he talks about holding tight which thou hast. Well, what's it talking about? That you already have in your Christian life. And the Lord is coming along here, and he's saying, tighten your grip on that which you've already accomplished in your Christian life. He says, that which you've already learned, that which you've already gained, that which you've already moved forward on, tighten your grip on it. Now, there are all levels of Christian growth represented in this church service today. We have people in this auditorium this morning that just got saved this week. You just started your new life in Christ Jesus. But wait a minute, we have people in this building that have been saved for 60 and 65, 70 years of life. Now, let me say to everybody here, hold fast whatever level of growth that you have achieved. If you've been in church for 1 month now, I want to tell you something. You hold fast to what you've already learned. Don't go backwards. But wait a minute. Some of you that have been saved for 40 and 50 and 60 years, I want to challenge you. Hold fast to the level of growth that you have achieved. Don't go backwards. Don't quit at whatever level you have achieved. Hey, you're climbing up that spiritual rope. Some may say, well, Brother Horst, I'm only 4 or 5 feet off the ground. I'm a brand new Christian. I just started coming to church. Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't go backwards. Just hold tight. But wait, some of you say, well, Brother Hollins, I feel like at my age, I'm getting toward the top of the rope. And so you know, none of us are at the top of the rope. Only Jesus climbed the rope perfectly and all the way. But you say, look, it's not many years. I'm going to go home to glory. I have been in church for a long time. I have learned, and I have learned, and I have learned, and I have learned. Well, let me recommend to those of you that are at the top of the rope and those of you that are at the bottom of the rope, hold fast. Tighten your grip. Because God, it does not matter where you are or where I am on the rope, he wants me to tighten my grip. At what I've already learned. Hang on to whatever level of growth you have experienced. You know, if you say, well, Brother Lindsay, in regard to this thing of witnessing or soul winning, really the only thing I've known to do is just pass out a gospel tract. All right, tighten your grip on that. Don't go backwards. Keep passing out those gospel tracts. But wait, there are some of you, you've been in the church for years. You've been through our soul winning training course. You know how to win somebody to Christ. You know how to take the Bible and show the Bible plan of someone getting to heaven. Let me recommend to you, tighten your grip on that thing. Don't go backwards. Tighten your grip. Keep on telling people about Jesus Christ. Hey, whether you're at the top of the rope or seemingly at the bottom of the rope, the issue is that you tighten your grip and you not go back down the rope. You take, for instance, separation from the world. There are brand new Christians in our church They've learned very, very little about separation from the world. And let me say to everybody that's higher up the rope, when those new Christians come to church, you be gentle and you be kind and you be gracious with them. They've got to learn how to climb the rope just like you learned how to climb the rope. They're not going to be overnight successes. There are some things that you have learned that they have not yet learned. You better be working at keeping your hands wrapped around the rope at whatever level you've been trained to live. But you know, you take separation from the world. There are people in here, they've been saved for a few weeks. They just heard in Sunday school this morning something about pulling away from the world and pulling toward Christ. And they said, boy, this is going to be a big deal to me. I've got to make a change. Well, listen, young Christian, whatever you've learned about living right, tighten your hands around that rope. Don't go backwards. Don't go back into the world. Don't let the devil scare you out of moving up. He said, well, I'm just barely hanging on. Then hang on till you get enough energy to move up, but don't move down. Don't move down that rope. Tighten your hands around that thing. Wrap your body around it. Use your strength to stay where you're at spiritually or move up. But wait, then there are some in regard to separation from the world. You've been taught. You've been around. You know what the Bible teaches. You know what the Bible says. I recommend to you that you not go backwards. I recommend to you that you go up. Can I tell you something? There's some of you that all of us have some purifying that needs to take place in our life. All of us do. Tell you what used to happen. If somebody hung on that rope long enough and didn't move anywhere at all, they'd lose their energy and they'd have to come down. You know, they dangle there and say, I'm scared to go up, I'm scared to go up, I'm scared to go up. You hang there long enough, you won't only get a little extra energy while you catch your wind, you'll wear yourself out. You need to start moving up again. You need to start moving up. But, hey, Christian that's been taught the difference between right and wrong and what the Bible teaches, grab a hold of that rope. Don't slide backwards. Don't go down. Whether it's separation from the world, whether it's in our witnessing and talking to others about Christ, you take in your church attendance. There's somebody here today, you've started to come to church on Sunday mornings. Well, up until now, you didn't really go to church at all. Maybe at Christmas, maybe at Easter. But you came last Sunday morning, and you came today. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you're here today. And now, there are some others. You've added to your Sunday morning church attendance, Sunday school, and you've added to your church attendance, Sunday night. May I say to you, if we've got some that are on the rope and they're hanging on and they're just coming to church on Sunday morning, hang on right there. Some are coming Sunday morning and Sunday night. They might have climbed the rope a little higher. Hang on right there. Don't go backwards. There are some that are coming Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Hang on. Don't go backwards. All that is telling us we ought to grow, and when we grow, we ought to stay where we've grown to. They call it backsliding. Slipping back down that rope. Everybody here is we'll call them downsliders today. Downsliders. We know the difference. Just grab a hold. Grab a hold. Hold tight. Tighten your grip. Now, you won't lose your salvation if you start slipping backwards. But I'll tell you this, you'll lose your joy. I watched many a fella start climbing up the rope, get about halfway up, not do what the coach said, start sliding down, and get burns. I never seen one guy that got his hands or the inside of his thighs or his chest burn on that rope that was full of joy. Not at all. Not at all. Hey, listen, you won't lose your salvation if you start going backwards, but you can lose your testimony. You won't lose your salvation, but you can lose your witness with some people. You won't lose your salvation. You'll lose your peace. You won't lose your salvation. You may lose some fellowship with God. I say to you today, tighten your grip. On what? Your Christian growth. And I'm not trying to get somebody on this platform to compare themselves to somebody in the pew or somebody in the pew to compare themselves to somebody up in the balcony. I just want to know. How about you? You look at you and you ask yourself, hey, am I where I once was? Or am I going backwards? And I wish I could have gotten to you earlier to say, tighten your grip right now. Don't let go. Don't let go. Hang right there if you need to. But if you began to slide backwards, let's get to moving back up the road. So, God comes to us. And in Revelation 2.25, Revelation 3.3, and Revelation 3.11, he talks about those things that we've already received. He is talking about our growth. He's saying, tighten your grip. Hold fast to whatever level of growth you have experienced, and don't slide back down. Number two, learn to tighten your grip on the truth. On the truth. Now what is that? Of course, the truth is the Word of God. Take your Bibles quickly. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 13. We said, first of all, the Bible says, tighten your grip on your Christian growth. Secondly, we need to tighten our grip on the truth or on the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul here is writing to young Timothy, and he tells him, you better tighten your grip on the truth that I have taught you. You better tighten your grip on the sound words. There are no more sound words than the Word of God. He said, you better tighten your grip on that. Some of you need to understand something. Here is an older preacher saying to a younger preacher, tighten your grip on the things that I taught you. As an old man, I taught you how to live right and how to act right and how to preach and how to do what you do. Young preacher, tighten your grip. Why? Because society is going to try to change a young preacher. Going to try to get him to go the way of the world and all the new religion and all of that and say fooey on some of the old time religion. I say to young preachers, tighten your grip. Tighten your grip. You know what's right. You've been taught. You know the difference between right and wrong. Hey, there are some of you in this building. Some of you have had excellent opportunity in life. You have been taught some wonderful truth from some great preachers. I say to you, tighten your grip. Look back at some of those truths. Re-grasp the rope of truth and hold on tight. Tighten your grip on what you've learned. In this passage, you'll find out that Paul is challenging Timothy to tighten his grip. He's telling him, hold fast. Not just hold. He's saying, yeah, I need you to hold fast. He's saying, you have grown. Now don't go backwards. Tighten your grip. He's saying, you've grown in the Word of God. Now don't go backwards. Now, Timothy, if you know the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, in them, Paul mentions, through the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, Timothy's grandmother and mother, because they had taught Timothy. And I think that, again, we see that Timothy's grandmother, named Lois, had taught him the truths of the Bible. And Paul, as he talks to Timothy, he said, there's some things I want you to hold fast to. You hold fast to what I've taught you. You hold fast to what your grandmother taught you. Now, let me tell you something. There are some of you, you had a godly grandma. You had a godly grandmother, maybe still alive, maybe she's passed on. But some of you had godly grandparents, and I say to you, you better hold fast to what they taught you. They taught you the importance of the Word of God. They taught you, hey, don't look to the new generation for your morality. You look back at Grandma's day when they got married and stayed married for a long time and when America was honest and had integrity. Hey, hold fast. Hold fast. Tighten your grip. Tighten your grip on what Grandma taught you. I had a Grandma, we called her Grandma Virginia. Grandma Virginia passed away from cancer, and I remember it. But I'll tell you what. Grandma Virginia never missed church. Never. I remember her dragging me to church when there were 7 people there, and that's it. She was just a churchgoer. She was one of those that believed if the hinge of the church squeaked, that was the church bell saying, come on in. And Grandma Virginia was there. I'm glad I learned that from Grandma Virginia. I believe in being in church. Timothy's mother, her name was Eunice. She also taught Timothy some truth. You find it if you've ever read 1 and 2 Timothy. You see her mentioned there. Paul was saying, Timothy, tighten the grip on what me, an older preacher, had taught you about the Word of God. Tighten your grip on what your grandma had taught you. Tighten your grip on what your mother taught you. There's some of you. You had a godly mother. Your mother loved the Lord. She was dedicated to the Word of God. Church was not just a novelty to her. It was a big deal to her. She took it seriously. She did not have a form of religion, a form of godliness, and denied the power thereof. She truly was godly. Your mother taught you some things. Might be good for some of you to rethink some of those things and see if you're living the way your mother taught you to live. Paul was telling Timothy, don't forget about it. This week I traveled. I went to Baltimore and then flew to Detroit and then flew down to Evansville, Indiana and drove down to Owensboro, Kentucky to preach at a conference. And while I was there, people kept coming up to me and saying, Brother Owens, will you sign my Bible? Will you sign my Bible? it occurred to me as I had this big old, I don't know, whoever dreamed up this thing of signing Bibles, but we could string them up and shoot them at sundown for all I care. I can get done preaching at 9 and not get out of a place till 9:45 because I'm signing Bibles. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a stamp. I just have someone go through and stamp them for me. But I was standing there signing Bibles as people would open up their Bibles, and I always signed Jeffrey A. Owens, Galatians 6:2. Jeffrey A. Owens, Galatians 6:2. And as I was standing there, I was thinking about our church and the sermon that I would preach this morning and how that I took Galatians 6:2 as my life's verse because it was my mom's. And Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I've tried so hard and I want so hard to pattern my ministry after Galatians 6:2. I want to help people with their burdens. Jesus came to save sinners and to help people, and I want to get people saved and help them. That's my goal. Hey, when we were talking earlier about buying these mobile units and this new building and all, just so you know, it's not all about increasing the portfolio of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There's only one reason we need those buildings. It's to help people. It's to help people. If the buildings ever become more important than people, just shut the buildings down. We're not here to try to make ourselves look good to the community. We're here to help people. That's why we're here. That's why we would do it. But I remember as I would sign Bible after Bible after Bible, everyone, Galatians 6:2. Galatians 6:2. I learned that from my mama. There's some of you, your mama would expect better of you. You were taught better than the way you're living. He said, but that it was not that way for my mother. It was not that way. But listen, for some of you, it was that way. Hey, but you say that my mother didn't influence me like that. Then you make sure you influence your daughters and your sons that way. Some here are living against the pure lifestyle that you were taught. You need to regain your grip. I say to you, as you're climbing that rope, if you will, grab a hold. Tighten your grip on the growth that you've experienced. Tighten your grip on the things that you've already learned from the Bible. We have a group of our young people, and many, that go to the public schools here. They don't get to go to Martinsburg Christian Academy. Let me say to every one of those kids that go to the public school, I love you and I'm your friend. But let me tell you something, young people. If you're going to go to the public school, you better tighten your grip on the Word of God. Tighten your grip on what you believe. Tighten your grip on taking a stand for Jesus Christ. Tighten your grip. Don't you be ashamed of being a church person. One of our good ladies came and said, one of my children have to go to the public school. We can't afford to put him in the Christian school, Brother Owens. And my child is being teased and they're being called a name. But the name it was really complimentary. Call him a good Christian, if you will. I said, tell him to hold their head high. Tighten your grip, young people. Tighten your grip and do right. You see, we need to tighten our grip on what? The words, the sound words that we've been taught. Those of you that work out in the secular world, let me tell you something. Tighten your grip. Tighten your grip. As you work out in the world, hey, as your family begins to oppose you for living according to the Bible, tighten your grip. Tighten your grip. Tighten your grip on the truth. There's some of you, you virtually need to tighten your grip on your Bible. There's some of you used to read your Bible. I'm not talking about one verse a day saying I read my Bible. Some of you used to read your Bible all the way through in a year. Well, I'm not telling you have to do that again, but let me ask you something. Have you tightened your grip on your Bible, or is that Bible slipping away from you? You see, 5 times in the New Testament, the Lord comes along and he says, I want you to hold, but not just hold fast. Tighten your grip on your Christian growth. Tighten your grip on the truth. Let me give you another. Thirdly, tighten your grip on your profession. Your profession. Let me explain it to you. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. The Bible says this, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, look back at me, if you will. That word profession there, it's virtually defined using 3 different words, the word out, the word same, and the word words. Out, same, words. What's it mean? Our profession means that we should have the same words coming out of our mouth as we grow in grace as came out when we first got saved. What do you mean by that? You see, when we first get saved, we're all excited about being saved, and we're energized about being saved, but if we're not careful, that salvation and excitement loses its edge. And when it's talking about make sure that you, it says, hold fast your profession. It means you think back to when you got saved, and you think back to how big it was, and you think back to how important it was, and you think back to how special it was, and you think back to how you told everybody, and you think back to how much it meant to you, and you think back to how you had to tell everybody and get the same words coming out of your mouth about getting saved today, 20 years later, that came out the first weekend you got saved. That's what it means. Hold fast to your profession. Be reminded of what God did for you. Hold fast to that profession. We witnessed and testified when our salvation was fresh and new. We should not let go of that excitement. Pin it down in your life. Keep it in your life. At first, we are excited about salvation. Tighten your grip and stay excited about your profession. You're professing Jesus Christ as your Savior. For some reason, the older we get in the Lord, the less we profess Him willingly and loudly. You know, young Christians can get saved and they'll do all sorts of crazy things to tell people they got saved. You get old and seasoned and what you call mature and you get cowardly. Tighten your grip on your profession. Are you still saved? And don't be ashamed of it. Do you remember when you had to tell everybody about church? Yeah, you're just going to invite everybody to church. Reestablish your grip on your profession. Grab a hold of that thing. Hey, have you slipped back on your profession? You're professing Jesus Christ as your Savior, telling people what you are, that you're a born-again Christian? Do you remember when you won a day? We had a little contest from time to time, bringing families and people to the church. You remember back when you wanted to bring all your family and you wanted to bring all your friends and you wanted to bring the people from work? It's a sad thing that so often when you get into the productivity of the ministry, you got to depend on the new Christians to do it because the old Christians think they pay their dues. And that is exactly what the Lord is saying here. You hold fast to your profession. Professing what? God saved you. What happened back then? You had some words coming out of your mouth. You were not ashamed. You were excited. You were pumped up. You were cranked up. You wanted to get something done for God back then. Now we'll just leave that for the, you know, the freshman Christians. That's God's warning us. Don't do that. Don't waver about this thing. Tighten your grip. Well, I can remember I was 16 years old going to a church in central Indiana. My pastor's name was Brother Thompson. You've heard me tell this story before, but I want to hear it again. He had told us, we're going to have a revival. He said, and whoever wins that revival, we're going to have a little competition bringing guests to the revival, bringing visitors. He said, whoever wins this little competition with the revival, I'm going to give them a record album. Now, it was a record album, and it was of good Christian music. You say, what's a record album? That's like a black CD on steroids. Now you go to the back of the Goodwill or Ambass. It's way, way, way in the back. Young people, every once in a while you'll see mom and dad sneaking back there looking. That's history for them. But he promised us this record album. He said, whoever brings the most visitors, you're going to win this thing. So I went to school the next day, went to the public school. And I started inviting my friends. I said, I'm going to win that record album. I got to church that night, had two or three of my friends with me. Preacher said, anybody bring any visitors? I raised my hand. He said, have them stand. We stood. He wrote my name down, wrote down three visitors. Next day, I went back to school. I gathered up a bunch of friends, said, well, I want you to come to church with me tonight. I had some friends come to church. Preacher that night at the revival said, everybody brought a visitor. I want you to stand. I stood. He wrote down the names. Preacher said, this is good. Somebody's going to win this record album. I said, I want that record album. I'm going to win that record album. I'm going to have that record album. I want it. And so next night, I'd gone to school all day long, invited my friends, and got some of my friends to come to church. We sat right down front. Preacher said, anybody bring any visitors tonight? I said, I did. I stood up. They stood up. He wrote their name down. I sat down. They sat down. He said, tomorrow night, see who can bring the visitors. Somebody's going to win this record album. Next night, I brought some visitors. He said, who brought visitors? I said, I brought visitors. I stood up. They stood up. He wrote it down. We sat down. We left. Last night, a revival. Last night. Now, Thursday night, the preacher said, now, folks, let me tell you something. It's close. It's close. Somebody's going to win this record album, but you're going to have to work double dog hard. Let me tell you something I learned about preachers since then. It's always close. They are some of the trickiest people you ever met. I mean, I have no idea if anybody else in that entire congregation had brought one visitor to that moment. But I'm sitting there saying, oh, no, it's close. And the preacher's going, gotcha, sucker, gotcha. You know how they are. We are. I'm pumped. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to work double dog hard, double dog hard. Oh, I've got to work hard. I got to school early. Boy, but school had not even started. I'm going around inviting all my friends, and I'm telling them, you got to come. You don't understand. This is double emergency. You got to come tonight. You got to come. I got me a group of visitors together. They came to church that night. Rich said, anybody bring any visitors? I raised my hand. They stood up. I stood up. He wrote it down. He said, let me tally this thing. You could hear a drum roll. We're getting ready to find out. He said, and the winner is Jeff Owens. Come up here and get your record album. Oh. Nee, 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 nee. I walked up. He said, and your reward is this record album. Oh, I was so excited about that. I won. I was driving home from church that night and realized I don't even have a record player. Let me ask you a question. Ab, you remember back when you were excited about your profession of faith in Jesus Christ? You remember back when you had to tell everybody and you weren't ashamed and you didn't cower and your salvation had not become old hat to you? And that is exactly what the Lord is saying. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Hey, once we're saved, we're always saved. He's saying, just keep the excitement about what I gave you and keep on talking about it. He's saying to us, hold tight. Hey, tighten your grip. On what? What? The growth that you've already experienced. Tighten your grip on the truth that you've already learned. Tighten your grip on the profession of your faith. Let me give you another. The Lord comes to us and tells us to tighten our grip on our boldness. Let me read to you from Hebrews 3:6. It says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing. That word confidence there, it's talking about our boldness. We have a certain confidence. We have a certain boldness in Jesus Christ. Let's not lose our boldness for the cause of Christ. And the more liberal our society gets, the harder it will be for you to be bold. You know, when you live in a nation whose God is the Lord and everybody is taking a certain stand for God, it's not as hard. But when you get surrounded by people who don't love God anymore, when you get surrounded by a nation that's turning their back on God, it might be a little tough to be bold. I couldn't believe it. I was in the airport in Detroit, Michigan yesterday, reached down to look at a book, and it was called The Atheist Bible. Sold! In America! One nation under God. Right. And it may come a day when you've got to take a stand and it's going to take some backbone. Right. Hey, our boldness, our confidence, tighten your grip. You know, you'll find the longer you're saved, the more you're going to have to work at being bold. I think that's all there is to it. The longer you're saved, the more you'll have to work at your boldness. Tighten your grip on your boldness. I remember when I was a younger preacher, I've been preaching for about 33 years now. When I was a younger preacher, I could care less what people thought when I preached. Straightforward, hard, and bold. The older I get, the more I have to work at my boldness. Now, when I preach a bold, hard message, instead of going out for a quick cup of coffee afterwards to fellowship, I go to my office and I weep. You say, why? Well, the older you get and the more you understand about the Bible, the more you realize when you're being tough, somebody's getting hurt. Not because you want to hurt them, but it happens. The more you grow in the Lord, the more you love people. The more you love, the harder it is to scold the ones that you love. We've got to tighten our grip on the truth. We've got to tighten our grip on our boldness. When folks do wrong and they have to be corrected, you kind of hate doing it. The older you get, the harder it is sometimes to be bold about wrong. Grandparents who would have taken a stand when they were parents, when they become grandparents, cease to take the same stand. Because they're bad? No, because they're gentle. And they love. And they don't want to hurt. But we cannot throw out the boldness and the truth as we add to it the love and the tenderness. Are y'all listening to me? Don't be rude about your separation stand, but also don't be a coward. You know, you don't have to apologize for being a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I was on the way to the airport in Evansville, Indiana yesterday, and they stopped to buy me a sandwich, and I think we were at a Burger King, and there's this fellow standing there, and he said, "Well, it's a great day to be alive." And I said, "It sure is." He said, he made some other comment, and it was a negative comment. I think it was a very disrespectful comment, and I said, "Sir, as a Christian, I don't believe that way." I so shocked him, he grabbed his French fries and walked out. Now, to be honest, I wish he wouldn't have done that. I wish he would have left the French fries. I wasn't rude. I was not curt. But I was not afraid to say I'm a born-again Christian, and you make me feel uneasy talking that way. I had as much right to say I was a Christian at the ketchup machine as he did to say that he did not like God. Listen. The Lord said, hold fast your confidence. Hold fast your boldness. You don't have to apologize for being a Christian. You don't have to apologize for being a Baptist. You don't have to apologize for carrying the King James Bible. You don't have to apologize for being a soul winner. You don't have to apologize for saying, "I don't drink." You don't have to apologize for saying, "I don't go to the nightclubs. I don't do that." Now, I think you need to stand. I don't think you have to be arrogant when you stand. You heard me attribute much time to that last Sunday morning. I think we need to be wise, but we need to be bold. I don't think you need to stand around and argue your standards and all of that with lost people. I think you need to get Jesus to the lost people. But I think there's sometimes with what I'll call in the religious realm, you better stand up and be counted. You don't have to be a doormat and say, "Well, I just go along with anything." Well, I don't go along with anything. I've got to hold fast. There's some of you need to tighten your grip. You've loosened your grip, and you're not standing for God. Tighten your grip. Tighten your grip on your growth, and tighten your grip on the truth that you've learned, and tighten your grip on the profession of your faith and the excitement about what God's done for you, and tighten your grip on your boldness. Now let me say finally, and I'm finished, tighten your grip on doing good. Tighten your grip on doing good. We read it earlier, the text verse of the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, where the Bible says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." It is delightful to me when I see our people here at our church doing good. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. And something that we all need to learn, it does not matter how much good you and I have done already in our life, we've never totally paid our dues in regard to doing good. If we're still alive, if we're still breathing God's air and eating God's food and enjoying a life, that means God left us here to do something, and I'll promise you, He left us here to do good. Keep doing good. Tighten your grip on your good works. Tighten your grip on your duties at the church. Tighten your grip. Don't let go. Don't let go. I heard of a young family here in our church who recently bought their Sunday school teacher a much-needed pair of shoes. Amen. That's good Christianity. Good deeds thrill our Lord. He said, tighten your grip. Don't go backwards. Don't let loose. He didn't just say hold. He said, hold fast to good deeds. Someone who went to the office over here at Martinsburg Christian Academy and helped someone to pay their school bill. That's good Christianity. Tighten your grip. Tighten your grip. Tighten your grip. On what? On your good deeds. In a time of tough economics, tighten your grip on doing good deeds. You say, "Well, I can't do what I once could," but we can all do something. We can all do something. The economy is not to determine whether we do good deeds or not. If that's so, we could just say to all the poor people here, don't ever do anything for anybody. But you know better. We must do what we can do. And sometimes we must do, even if we sacrifice a little. And I'm not trying to get a thing in the world. For me, I do not come to you on the behalf of Jeff Owens. I come to you on the behalf of Jesus Christ. He said, you better take care of the poor. You better take care and meet the needs of people. And he said, you hold fast. The New Testament church is to keep people out of hell and to help people and try to reach the needs of people. I watched a man provide Christmas for a struggling family. More than one. Tighten your grip on those good deeds. God bless you, sir. Man, put a little check under my, a good-sized check under my door this morning and said, go help somebody. Thank God for that. You say, well, he must have a lot of money. No, he's probably in the same, he's living in the same economy you are. But he has tightened his grip and he said, I'm not going to let loose of the good deeds that God has left me here to accomplish. Good deeds save no one, but saved people do good deeds. That's all there is to it. A good deed of a meal taken by someone's home who suffered a little extra sickness and maybe they're laid up. The good deed. The other day somebody said to me, you know, somebody came by and shoveled the snow at my house off my walk. That didn't cost anybody anything. It's a good deed. It's a good deed. Tighten your grip on the doing of those good deeds that need to be done, and that little bit of food or that handshake or those words of encouragement or a note of encouragement or seeing a need and meeting the need. You say, well, I've been in the church a long time. Let the new Christians do that. All Christians are supposed to do that. I don't know where you're hanging on the rope, but you better tighten your grip. And you are not to go backwards on doing good deeds. You're not to go backwards on your boldness and backwards on your profession and backwards on the truth that you've learned. You're not to go backwards. We're to grab a hold wherever we have grown to. Hang on tight. You say, I'm not sure I can hang on. Well, just hang on. Don't try to climb up any further. Hang on and catch your breath. Then start moving up again. But don't slide down the rope. Don't be a downslider. You may need to ask yourself, have you downslid? Have you gone backwards? Sometimes the last people to realize that they are backslidden are the backslidden ones. Just backslidden. Prove all things. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. What's it mean? Tighten your grip. We all need some of that from time to time. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we want to welcome you to the Savior. You do not get saved by your good works. That is contrary to what the Bible teaches. You must realize you're a sinner. You must realize there's a penalty for your sin. You must realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You will turn to Him. You will accept Him as your Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. That's how you'll get saved. It's not by your good deeds. Your works of righteousness won't save you. Doing good deeds and doing these things, they won't save you. You need a Savior, and then that Savior will help you to accomplish these things. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to get saved today. Some of you, you're holding fast to your good works to save you. You need to let go of those. You need to let Jesus Christ save you. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. If you are saved, I hope that you'll give attention to the five times in the New Testament where the Lord says, tighten your grip. Hang on for dear life. Don't